that you might be healed. God wants you to be healed. He wants you to be whole by His Christ. You're healed. I'm not talking about physical healing. I'm talking about spiritual healing. God knows you're broken. God knows you're wounded. God knows you've got sin in your heart. You've got little tumors running around on there. People hurt you. You're angry from them. You've had bad circumstances in life. You're angry about that. Your parents said something mean to you one time, and you still remember it to this day. Man, you're in your 60s today. You remember what Dad said to you. Wounds, 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 wounds. God says, I want to heal you. And I'm going to let you eat that bitterness until you get clear, because I'm here for you. But you won't turn to me. You see, the fact is God's the refuge. David said it over and over again. Boy, he had enough prizes for all of us about. And he says, God is a fortress, and He's my refuge. I don't want to run to God. You can make quick. That may turn away. You need to come here. And it goes on in verse. And that's the purpose of your taking. God wants to heal your heart. You know, every problem we bring upon ourselves is a result of a problem of our heart. Did you know that? It is. You've got a problem with your heart. That's why you do what you do. That's why you lash out at people. That's why you say. That's why you run from people. That's why you protect yourself. Spot in there. He wants to excise all that little bad tissue in your heart. He wants to put in some new. Not only that, the prospect of things is in verse 14. He says, follow peace. Literally, dioko is the word to persecute. It means to pursue it. It means to go after it with all you've got, like you were on a mission. He says, follow peace. And he says, with all you say, with all your not mentioned, with all you've got. And then he said, verse 14, without which no man shall see the Lord. Does that mean if you're not holy, you don't get to heaven? No. What it means is that the pure in heart, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, it says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Jesus said, we will come to you and we will manifest ourselves to you. Your lifeline and God's purpose in your life is to get you to see God. He wants you to see Him in your day-to-day life. He does. Stacy emailed me not long ago, and I can't remember the specifics of it, but I do remember the title of her email, and it was, A God. And God thing, you know, and that's what God wants you to do. He wants you to see Him today. If you've never seen God in your day-to-day life, in somewhere, someplace, not every day, I mean, God's not like that. He's not, you know, dancing in front of you all the time, but God shows you Himself, as we told you about Ryan, this sergeant major. That's God's thing, you know. That's God showing Himself. The Jews, when they built the wall in Jerusalem, and they were all excited and said, get the book, Ezra. We read about this in our Sunday school class recently. And they were saying, get the book. They were so excited about God. God's good. God's in. God's status now. And God's in. He's trendy. You know, we can get the book. This is great, man. We're on track. They read the book. Everybody started crying because it was so bad. Man, we're upset. Because of the words that were met. Ezra had to say, don't weep. He said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. What was the joy of the Lord? That they built that thing in 52 days when it should have taken them a month. They built the whole wall in 52 days. It was a miracle. He said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. You know what that is? Seeing God work in your midst, that's your strength. And that's what you need when you're in chastening times. You need to see God in your storms. You need to see Him in the fiery furnace with the four or three other men. You need to see the fourth man in the fire. You need to go through life and know that He's with you. That's why you need to make straight paths. That's why you need to pursue peace. That's why you need to smooth things out. Because if you don't do it, you could be for the rest of your life. And you won't see God because you'll be laying down in the middle of the road hemorrhaging. We've all met Christians like that. They're believers. They can give you a good testimony. But man, they're crippled. They can't go to church. They feel so condemned. The devil's been all over them, and they've made some choices at the Christmas, and the volatility was taken to the extreme, and they got angry, and they quit. Says the potential or the purpose of your chapter that you might be able to better see God. Because without your holiness, without pursuing holiness and peace, you're not going to see God. And you need to.
The next verse tells us this in verse 16. Or verse 15, looking diligently. Now, this is a Greek word that literally is, we get the word episcopal from it, like the Episcopal Church. It literally means to oversee. Another place, only translated one other place in the Bible, and it says taking the oversight thereof. What God says is, when you're going through chastisement, you need to start thinking about everybody else, not about yourself. He says, looking diligently. Overseeing diligently. Look at it from an aerial view and say, what's really God trying to accomplish? He says, looking diligently, it gives us three, and this is the prospect of our chastisement. Looking diligently, and there's three lest passages, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Literally, come late for it. Come late to it. He says, be careful about you, how you handle your crisis, because other people are going to be either edified or besmirched or impoverished by what you do. When your apple cart turns over, you need to stand straight because God's going to help other people see how it works. He's going to see how grace works. And if you don't do right, they're going to fall short. They're going to come late. And that reminds me of that 10 virgin passage where it says five had no oil and five had oil and the five who had no oil came late. And they knocked on the door, let us see. He said, I never knew you. Why? Because they thought church was just a game. They thought church was just behaving, and that's why they're virgins. They're just good people. Good people go to hell. Can I get a witness? Good people go to hell. And I'm talking good on the level of this world in their Geiger time. Believers go to heaven. People who believe in Jesus and trust Him for their salvation. But the five virgins came late because they didn't have any oil. They didn't have any reality. And you and I have the people. This book matters. This truth liberates. And if the Son will make you free, you will be free indeed. He will heal you. He will restore you. He will keep you from being lame and without legs. And that's the first thing, lest any man fall short. And he's talking about be careful about other people because some people are watching you and they're seeing it, and however you behave right now could impact how they look at the grace of God. I've seen people who have been involved in some very serious stuff. And I actually heard it on our Christian radio. I heard a guy on the radio once, he was a pedophile. And he was on one of those popular family shows, and they were interviewing him. I'm telling you, he had no business being on that radio. I should get a witness right there. If you're a pedophile, you got that going on, I'm telling you something. You don't need to be put up on a platform and on a pedestal and being interviewed. You need to stand down, and you need to do everything. You need to read 2 Corinthians chapter 7. It talks what real righteousness and real repentance looks like. But what I'm saying is this. I've seen people who've loved the guy who's messed up in that area so much so that they didn't care what it did to the church or to the rest of their family. And they've acted like that was the Christian thing to do. Guess what happens? People who see them behaving as if that pedophile is the victim are pushed away from shore, and they fall short of the grace of God. We need to stand with the right. That's why God's Word has a whole lot to say about capitalism. We all get it. But sometimes it helps us not have to work with the balls of yarn that get like this to the point where they can't be undone. Murder, rape, incest, things like that, those things need to be dealt with, and they need to be dealt with decisively, but they need to be dealt with in clarity and not with unclarity. He says this, he says, lest any root of bitterness welling up in you, and by it many be defiled. The word defiled literally means change to a complete different color. You know what happens when we as a church get together and we act like something in a gross way, like I went to that extreme a moment ago, as if it's not important, is that we all have to change our colors. We have to pull down the white flag and put up a tainted, dirty one because we're saying it's okay. It's not okay. There are certain things that are not okay. So we've got to get to the place where we say, okay, we've got to make straight paths, find God's heart, go God's way, get it God's way, and do the best we can to champion everybody else's heart, protect everybody involved, and make sure that when we come out of the thicket, we're on the right side. Otherwise, other people are going to be asked to dance to our tune rather than grieve with us over our stumbling. The final thing is, there's lest any fornicator or profane person like Esau be in your midst. The word profane and fornicator, the word fornicator literally means to sell oneself. It's the word pornos, but it means to sell oneself. It's not about sexual sin, because Esau wasn't about sexual sin. He was a guy who sold his birthright for a bowl of pottage. Never throw Jesus back on the cross. Corinthians says, the cross bears you and not you the cross. That's how it's put in Corinthians. I can't give you the exact passage, but look it up. The cross, don't make the cross bear you. You bear the cross. It's me. It's my fault. I'm the one who's wrong. I'm going to take it on the chin. I'm going to step up. I'm going to be the one who acknowledges it. That's what we've got to do when our apple cart gets turned over. That otherwise what we're doing is we're not fornicators in the sense of sexual sin, but fornicators in the sense of selling ourselves to do the devil's deed by making everybody compromise. This is what's happened in the church today, by the way. Across America, the church at large has been inundated by foolishness. They are ordaining homosexuals. They're marrying them. Women are being ordained to ministry. You say, well, Pastor, isn't that okay? I mean, after all, this is a new day. No, the Bible's not new. It's the same Bible we've always had, and it said, don't do that. Okay? It just said that. It's not because God's mean. God's commandments are always protective. God knows women are wired in such a way that if they get too much on their plate, they get unsettled. And when people leave the church because they're mad at you, they feel it more than a man does. God doesn't want you in that realm because He doesn't want you to go there. He wants you to be a blessing. He wants you to be a servant. He wants you to help people. He wants you to do all you can to serve like God wired you to do. And ministry is too hard for that. There's too many times you've got to stand nose to nose to somebody and say, that was not right. But we don't do that, so I guess the door's open for those who don't want to say, that's not right. Problem solvers and helpers who are right, and the Bible tells us those who are right can get healed. Those who are right can see God again, and they can be peaceful again. And in verse 16 it says, lest there be any fornicator, which is the idea of selling themselves like he did, for one morsel of meat. One little morsel, I gotta have that, verse 16 says. And in verse 17 it says, for ye know that after he had sold his birthright and profaned it, it says, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. The word means he wasn't able to be put back into circulation. It's a document. He wasn't able to be accepted because he was found wanting. He didn't really have a true heart, and he found no place of repentance. Though he sought it diligently with tears. Now, here's the thing. In our day, well, in his day, he didn't have a Bible. Okay? This is Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Moses wasn't even born. There was no Bible written for them. And Esau only had the custom of the day, and he knew that he had messed with the birthright. He couldn't find any purchase for his hope. You and I are not so unclothed unless we make ourselves so. If we don't ask God what His opinion is about our stuff by reading His Bible ahead of time, when it comes down to it, you're not going to have any resources. And you're going to find no place for repentance, and you're going to be in the ditch. A lot of this is not a game. I said the last week, this is for the whole shooting match. You got to do it God's way. If you do it God's way, He will lead you into peace. He will even take your wounds. The Bible says He can make even the wrath of men to praise it. Did you know that? It's in there. And if you've never read that, you ought to think, man, I need to know that stuff, because that stuff you can use. You've got to know that Jesus paid it all. You've got to know it not because I told you, but because you've read it and God's driven it home to your heart by the Spirit of God. Because there's going to be times when you're going to be looking for a place of repentance. And you don't know where it's at. You're going to say, God could never forgive me. Haven't you heard that before? Haven't you felt it? But when you read about David, you read about Joseph, you read about Joshua making his covenant, you read about the people of Israel intermarrying with the other nations, you read about Balaam as Balak, then you read about all the Gnostics and Hymenaeus and Alexander in the New Testament and Peter denying Jesus, and you begin to read it and you say, whoa, wait a minute, this is a guy I can relate to over here. He's a scalawag, he's a scoundrel, he's a rascal, and he's a compromiser, and he made mistakes, but God forgave him. God restored him. And when He restored him, what did He say? to Peter, he said, see, my sheep. David said in a Psalm 32 and 51, he said, you know what, I'm going to testify in the congregation of the righteous that God is good and I'm not. That's what he was saying. You see, in this passage, he said he for metanoia, changing his mind or getting his mind in clear. I didn't really point it out too much, but you need to know this. The concept of palsy and lupus and things like that, the whole picture in here is that if you don't do this right, you end up the thing, cutting off your leg. There's even indications in this passage that are kind of threaded into the core that people are going to be neurotic, is what he's saying. That there's going to be a floodgate and you're going to have struggles if you don't do it right. You've got to get it right. And you've got to get it right now. Because you can end up on the other side completely biting your nails, tapping your foot, shaking in your shoes. It was the funniest thing. I was over at the Mass this week. Dropped in. And they have two dogs in there, little dogs. And the one dog, they had just shaved his hair off of him. And it looked ridiculous. Because the other dog was all pretty. He had his hair going on. He was cool. But the other one was all shaved down. And the other dog was shaking. And I said, is he cold? And Darlene said, no. She said, we got that little neck thing on him with that little electrical pulse. I said, is it stuck? Dog is scared to death because he's thinking he might get zapped again. Don't call the SPCA. These guys are good people. The poor dog's just got a problem with that. My dog gets like that when there's a thunderstorm. He just starts shaking. But it's funny. I'm sitting there shaking. He's got this little big thing on his neck, and I'm thinking he's being shocked. Isn't that funny? It's just crazy. But you know, there are Christians who live like that, aren't there? They've been doing it wrong every time God did something, and they're not doing it. Why am I like that? Why is it? It's because I won't make straight paths. It's because I won't pursue peace. It's because I won't pursue holiness. It's because I don't see God. And I don't even know if He likes me anymore. The Bible says that when you behave poorly, you become short-sighted, even unto blindness, get this, forgetting that you were washed from your sin. Didn't say you weren't, just said you forget. Guess what that does? Put you in a state of panic. Beloved, no chastening brings joy. But grieving. Say that with me, will you? But happy. Peaceable, free, of righteousness. Would you bow with me?